I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's V-Y-V-G-A-R-T MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
This is case number 2018 CA5321, Jack Kowalski, etc. et al. Versus Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Starting with the plaintiffs, let's take appearances, please.
Greg Anderson, Nick Whitney, Samantha Lawrence on behalf of the plaintiffs.
Ethan Shapiro, Howard Hunter, Pat Kroll's, David Hughes, joined by Dr. Amin for the defense.
In follow-up from a conversation we had last week, during deliberations, you probably will not be allowed to be sitting in the courtroom during deliberations. You will probably have to be outside the courtroom.
Okay. That's for everyone.
Yeah.
Will we be able to evacuate exhibits during that time, or is that same?
I think it's going to depend on the availability of courtroom E, which is under the purview of another judge, and I don't know her schedule. So I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Judge, if we could come to some agreement so that we know, I mean, the jury could be out a long time, a little time, and they'll have questions, but would it be all right if counsel did not hang around right here, at least after the first hour or so, that where you get questions? The question is, I think everybody's about 15 minutes from here, but
well,
what's your view?
Here's my view. I always ask the attorneys to give the clerk their cell phone numbers in case there's a question or whatnot.
Right.
I'm not going to say you have to stay in the courthouse, but please, you know, if it's a question, I don't want to have to wait an hour to get everybody together.
We will
and
not.
I'm just saying. I know around lunchtime it might be a little bit different. But for generally speaking, you know, if you're somewhat close, I would appreciate that.
We'll cancel the fishing trip.
Ms. Corrales, I think you were trying to stand up.
I didn't know if Your Honor had something else you wanted to address. I just have some exhibits I need for my first.
Let's go through as many as we can get.
Okay, great. Well, I've. If I could direct us to specific ones I need for this morning. So if we go to page 3 of the one that was forwarded to the court and counsel this morning. Can you bring up 3217534?
You said 3217?
Yes, it's on page 3. So this is, there's 5 similar to this, Judge, and I'll give the exhibit numbers as we go through them, but essentially they're Jack Kowalski's emails to Kathy giving her the times or the dates that he wants to visit and her response. The admissions by the plaintiff and plan of intent by Ms. Beattie.
No objection.
Okay.
Ms. so glad I can just sit here.
Sorry?
I'll receive into evidence 3217-534.
All right, 3217-568. We'll redact that cell phone, Judge. Sorry. You want to take that down? Can we take that down, Judge? Yeah, I apologize.
Probably too late, for the...
My apologies.
Internet.
Can you redact that, please?
No, Mr. Kowalski, you probably need to get a new cell phone now.
It's already here.
Okay. Any objection to that, with exception of the cell phone number?
You can put it back up.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Do you need to see it again, Mr. Anderson?
I guess if it's possible to redact it, but if it's a pain to redact
No, it's not. He can do it. Yeah, can you put it back up then, 3217-568? No, was there no objection?
Yes.
Okay. No. 3217, can you look at 598 before you give it to everybody and make sure...
Wait a second. So it was... 568, there's no objection to?
Let me put it back up to make sure we're talking about the same thing.
We are. 3217.
I don't think we have an objection, Your Honor.
Okay.
Court receives in evidence 3217-568 as redacted. And again, let's make sure we get the clerk the redacted version.
598.
Objection.
Court receives in evidence 3217-598. Madam Clerk, did we get the on Friday those that we redacted? Did you get the redacted versions, or are we still waiting on any documents from Friday? Or last week, I should say. Yeah. You got it? Okay. Thank you. What's next, Ms. Carlos?
3217-716.
No objection.
Court receives in evidence 3217-716. 3217-803.
Okay, 3217-784. It's an email from Mr. Kowalski at the bottom to Kathy, inquiring about the dresses that he had dropped off. Kathy's response. And his response to that.
Salisbury's email is there.
What do we need?
You want to redact that?
No, I'm just asking the plaintiffs. I don't know if it's necessary. I'm just.
Well, hang on. That's true. I didn't notice it was from Debbie Salisbury.
No, it was one of the recipients of the email, not from her.
Would you like us to redact the attorney?
I actually don't think, well, yes, redact the attorney, please. Thank you, Judge.
So as redacted, the court will receive into evidence Exhibit 3217-784.
Okay. 3217, 850, and 851. So the court may recall that plaintiff put in emails regarding photographs that were taken prior to my going to court on January 6th. This is in the same stream of emails, but they didn't put these in, so we think for completion they need to put in that they're addressing the photos that were taken when she got back from court.
No objection.
Court receives into evidence 3217-850 and 851A.
Is there 851A? Does that indicate that
there's some redactions? Oh, yeah, there is. Would you like to see it without the redaction?
Please.
Sure. Yeah. Do you have it without the redaction?
I have it.
Okay. Yeah, I need to go back with that. Thank you. Here you go. There's the introduction. I think you want to talk to some PI. There's the order.
We do have an issue with the redactions. We'd like some of what's been redacted to be returned.
Which?
This. This is fine. But this sentence, I think, should stay.
Yeah. We'll have to talk to the court about it. I don't have it. Let me see if I have another copy, Judge. Do you have another copy?
I have another copy.
Okay. Great. Your Honor, can I approach?
Sure.
So I'm handing 3217-0851 without the redaction.
And he put up the version with redaction so I can see what we're talking about?
Yes. So, Judge, I redacted after return because I thought the next sentences were dealing with... I think, why don't you speak as to what you want to include?
Hang on, Judge. Let me talk to him.
If you have the unredacted version in front of you, I understand that the defense efforts at redactions would be to take out issues that are only relevant to the dependency proceeding. If you look below, it says Nancy and Debbie. This would be an internal email from Ms. Beattie, so it would be a party admission. And that next sentence is what we would require to stay, which is Maya has a FaceTime visit with her mother at 11 and 5 tomorrow and Sunday for 30 minutes each. that must be supervised by a social worker. That sentence should stay. It's not the dependency proceeding. The restrictions below can be redacted, but that sentence in and of itself needs to stay.
I think that's Chapter 39, Judge, which is why I redacted it.
It, in fact, goes directly against Chapter 39 dependency order that the defense insisted upon, which was that the mother was to have unsupervised FaceTime calls during this period of time.
Actually, the order says they can be supervised.
Yeah, I was going to say the at that time it was able to be supervised.
As of December something.
Yes, it's permissive. Ms. Beattie's position here is that it's required to be supervised by her. So we think it's relevant to the restrictions Ms. Beattie felt necessary to impose on these calls.
Judge, I think it's Chapter 39.
Well, I will agree with Mr. Whitney. We can redact out the 1 through 5, but the decision to supervise is permissive within the order, so I don't think that that's going to run afoul of trying the Chapter 39 case in this case. So leave in. Now, what about this reference to the state attorney?
No, we stopped at the, they were okay, I think.
I'm asking Mr. Whitney.
Yes, Your Honor, we're okay with the balance of the first paragraph being redacted as is. We're okay with the second paragraph being redacted. We'd like Nancy and Debbie left in, and then that sentence we just discussed.
May I have that copy?
Yes,
down?
Ma'am. So as just outlined, we'll make that, is this going to be A or
it,
B?
Yes. It's 3217.
We probably need to make this one B because you had a previous, did we already mark the A? So it'll have to be B.
Okay. So 3217850 and then 851B. Judge, that's, I believe, all the ones I need in for my first. Oh no, I'm sorry. 3403, 1-3. And we could probably just do two of them, Judge. Actually, we'll just do 2 and 3, please. Judge, these are important because they involve the Christmas dresses that were dropped off, and these were the dresses that she was wearing. You can see that they were dropped off on the 23rd, the ones taken on the 24th, and ones taken on the 25th.
No objection.
So we'll just put in 2 and 3.
2 and 3, number 1's not going in?
Yes, we don't need 3. And then.
So the court receives into evidence 3403, numbers 2 and 3.
Thank you. And then the next one is 3405. They are Ms. Beattie's performance evaluations for 2015 and 2016. The ones that the plaintiff had.
We object for obvious reasons.
I haven't read it, so tell me what the obvious reason is.
Well, Judge, they don't have the 2017, and so what they're trying to do, this would all be 403 and irrelevant because these were prior to the time period when all of this occurred. And they don't have the one for 2017. So by putting in ones from 2014, 15, 16, they are trying to give the jury an impression of something which we cannot counter because we don't have the ones from 2017. There's a depo this weekend, and it was a computer glitch. But for whatever reason, there isn't one. And so being able to put these in without us having the opportunity to see the 2017 is completely unfair. How are we going to do it?
So what happened What was the outcome of the deposition?
I'm happy to address it, Your Honor. We did the deposition yesterday of the HR personnel. She confirmed that because of a changeover from a paper system to an electronic system, that they went from reviewing all employees on their anniversary date to just reviewing employees on the fiscal July 1 to July 1. So all employees who fell within the review period between July and December just had their review roll over to the next July. So Kathy, Betty is not unique in having a gap between her last review date when the next one would start on July 1st, 2017. She testified that what they did for performance reviews and evaluations and merit increases, that the supervisor would have the option to put a note in their file that if the employee was exemplary, they would get more than their standard percent raise. If they were falling below, they could be below. And in Kathy Betty's case, there was no supervision email recommending either something above or below. And that deposition happened yesterday.
The deposition confirmed that there is no performance review for Kathy B.E. from the period of November 2016 to July 2017. I have a different understanding than Mr. Shapiro. What we learned in the deposition was that Johns Hopkins has taken the position that they were implementing a new performance review system between July 2017 and December of that year. Since Ms. Beattie's performance review typically fell in October, there was no performance review performed for her for the period between October 2016 and October 2017, immediately after her receiving a disciplinary action in her personnel record. She did, however, get a pay raise on schedule, and then her evaluations, once this new system was apparently implemented, resumed on the October anniversary, and that's confirmed by the October 2018 review that we have. So, the fact is, there's a missing performance review for the majority of the relevant admission. Ms. Beattie was not reviewed. So, along with Mr. Anderson's objection, we object to putting in what is here because 2017 doesn't exist.
Just to correct one issue, Judge, she was reviewed again. She, like all employees at the hospital, their next review started July 1, 2017. She was reviewed annually, July to July, going forward. And they do have, for what it's worth, I mean, I know it's after the fact, we did turn over her next review period, which was July 1, 2017 through July 1, 2018.
And was there a review in October of 2018?
No, it's not July.
No, it just continues July to July to July to July for the rest of going forward. That's system-wide at the hospital. That was not unique to Ms. Betty.
If you want to discuss the deposition more, there was a protective order filed and there was a dispute during the deposition. I don't know if you want to take that up now or later.
The problem was, Judge, we wanted to know whether this applied to anybody else.
Oh, I have the email showing that it applies to everybody. I'm happy to forward it. I can do that.
Well, was that subject inquired about, or did you all shut that down?
Thoroughly. The only thing that they start...
Let's not laugh.
I'm sorry.
There's a transcript of what happened, so Your Honor can read it. The deposition went for about 40 minutes. Where I issued a protective order was when they were asking for all HR policy procedures, all policies and procedures on performance reviews from the beginning of time until now, you know, inquiries that would blow open discovery. The question that the court allowed discovery on was a question of why doesn't Ms. Beattie have a written performance review from October through July that was thoroughly explored. The HR representative asked all those questions. There's a transcript of this.
And the policy is somehow sacrosanct that we can't part of the policy?
If there's a policy they'd want to see, I'm happy to produce a policy that they would.
You just said that you did a protective order in the deposition when they asked for the policies.
Of policies governed, their request for the corporate representative deposition, which we received late Friday night, was for all policies and procedures governing HR and performance. I would think that's fairly wide-ranging and extreme, no time limit, but if you want me to get the policy...
I mean, obviously we're not looking for 1985, but, you know, within a couple of years before and after the issue. You okay, Mr. Hunter?
No, I just got a bad email. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
I'm fine.
I'm happy to turn. If there's a policy they want to identify, I'm happy to do it.
I don't understand. Depositions are, of course, wider ranging than what happens in trial. This is an issue. I don't understand why we're having to spend any court time on it. Give them the policies in the 3 years before and 3 years after the issue.
And if I may, Your Honor, the deponent confirmed, we tried to get her to identify the relevant policies. She confirmed she relies on a mix of Johns Hopkins All Children's policies and Johns Hopkins proper policies. So we'd like the policies she was referencing so we can compare what happened here to what the internal policy was.
Okay, let's do that. Let's get it by, 5 o'clock today?
So the policy governing employee review, is that what the court would?
It's a performance evaluation, and you're objecting to turning over the policies on performance evaluation?
No, their request was for all HR policies. It wasn't for just performance evaluation.
I don't want to get into another issue with, you're asking for the risk management department and not the risk management committee. I want to spend 7 months like we did on that, which was beyond what we needed to do. Just, it's relevant. You know it's relevant. 3 years before, 3 years after.
That's right.
That being said, Judge, what about this exhibit?
I don't know if I can rule on it yet.
Here's my...
I'm not sure I can rule on this until I know what happened at the deposition, which apparently was shut down.
That's fine, Judge. I do not need to talk with Ms. Beattie about this. I'll just put it later on. I'll move it in as long as they're saying I don't need her to...
I'm not moving it in until I know what happened at the deposition.
All right, so we will revisit that later. Judge, that's the only exhibits I need for Ms. Beattie. I would like to address with the court, just so we know on timing, if the court wants to, the plaintiff's motion for more time.
Well,
or
considering
not.
Two minutes before we're supposed to bring the jury in.
Okay. It's more their issue than mine, not just okay.
Anything else that we have to take up before we bring in the jury?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, from the plaintiff's side.
Anything else from the defense side?
No, Your Honor.
Let's go ahead and get the jury.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings.
Well, greetings to you as well. Maybe I should say salutations and greetings. I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, you received no information, is that all correct?
Correct.
And no one approached you about this case, is that correct?
Correct.
And have you seen any media coverage about this case?
Correct.
Ms. Crills, can you call your next witness?
The defense would call Kathy Beattie.
Raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm your testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
God bless you. This way.
Good morning. Would you go ahead and state your name?
Sure. It's Catherine R. Beattie, B-E-G-Y.
Okay. Can you make sure you're speaking into the microphone?
Sure. Is that better?
That is better. Thank you. Ms. Beattie, are you a licensed social worker?
I am.
And how long have you been a licensed social worker?
For 22 years.
And do you know under what chapter you're licensed?
491.
Are you a medical provider,
No.
Are you a medical doctor?
No.
Are you a nurse?
No.
Do you provide medical care?
No.
Okay. All right. Ms. Beattie, the jury's heard about you. I heard your name, and there's been some discussion about you in court. Are you, in fact, the social worker that was assigned to Maya Kowalski while she was in the All Children's Hospital from October to January, October 16 to January 17?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Were there other social workers that were also involved?
Yes.
But were you considered the primary social worker?
Yes.
By the way, Ms. Beattie, did you and I meet last night?
We did.
For how long?
About an hour and a half.
Let's get a little background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Clearwater. I was born and raised in Clearwater.
Where did you go to school?
I started out in college at FSU and then returned to Tampa and went to USF and did my master's at USF.
And why did you leave FSU?
I was on a swim scholarship and I hurt my shoulder.
Did you say swimming?
Swim scholarship.
All right, and what was your bachelor's in from USF?
In psychology.
Okay. Can you take us forward with your employment from the time you got until you get your master's? So start with your bachelor's in psychology, sure. And take us forward.
I came out of college and went to work for Frito-Lay in their management training program. I worked for them for about 3 years and was recruited by Procter & Gamble to work in their beverage division. And from their beverage division, I went to work for Vicks, which P&G bought Vicks. And I worked for Vicks in account settings. So I would call on grocery stores and grocery chains in order to set up their ads and their product for cough and cold and suntan. And I did that for almost 11 years.
Did that involve a lot of traveling?
It did. I was on the go. I was in an airplane at least 3 or 4 days a week.
Why did you go back to school?
I did. My mom passed away in 1993 and my dad in 94. And I had young children at home. It gave me an opportunity to go back to college. So I think it was in 97 I went back. And I had to take some prerequisites to do a master's in social work. So I took some of the prerequisites and then started my master's in social work in 98.
And when did you graduate with your master's?
In 2000.
Okay. So you mentioned children. Do you have a family?
I do.
Can you tell us just generally?
Sure. I have a daughter. She's 37, and she's in Tampa. And then I have two stepsons. And I also have my sister. I had two brothers. There were three brothers, but... two of them have since passed away. So I have an older brother and my younger sister and I. We're all very close, and it's a very large extended family. I have a nephew who has two children, and he's the stepfather to another child who she has a little baby. So we have a big extended family.
Do you have grandchildren?
I do. I have two.
Let me ask you, so we're going to go... through, we're going to finish your work history in a minute, but and I'm going to take you through some of the things that have occurred during the time that Maya Kowalski was in the hospital. It's 3 months. We're not going to talk about everything, so I'll try to direct you to when and what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you're confused or if I've confused you with my question.
Okay.
But you talked about your family, your grandkids. Your extended family, did you at any time ever tell Maya Kowalski that you wanted to be her mother?
No, absolutely not.
Let's talk about your social work history. Mm-hmm. So after you got your master's, where did you go to work?
I went to work at Suncoast Center, and I had been working there during graduate school and also did an internship at Suncoast Center during graduate school. So when I finished... in graduate school, we had to write a grant, and I wrote a grant to Family Continuity, which was one of the child DCF community-based care organizations. and I wrote a grant to Teen Services. It was working with teens that were aging out of foster care to help give them the skills that they needed in order to leave foster care at the age of 18.
What happened when you wrote, did you get the grant?
Yeah, I wrote the grant for one person, and we ended up getting the whole program. So it was four therapists, two case managers, and myself as a manager.
Okay. And what was the point of that program?
It was to help kids that are getting ready to turn 18 to get the services that they would need in order to leave foster care, because at 18 you leave foster care.
What was your next role with respect to Suncoast Center?
So I also wrote another grant for Diversion Services in Pasco County, and that role was to keep kids out of foster care, and I had two therapists who were working for me there. Through that time, there was a shortage of people to work with therapeutic foster care kids, which are kids that have severe behavioral problems. So I took on a couple of those cases, and I worked with those kids and then became manager of that program. And so I managed the therapeutic foster care program, which probably had about 40 beds, along with Teen Services and Diversion Services.
So how long in total were you with Suncoast?
11 years.
What was your next place of employment?
So there was a position through Healthy Start, which works with moms that are drug abusing. And I worked with them through OBGYN, which was a group of five obstetricians and gynecologists and three nurse midwives.
And what was your role there?
So for every new pregnancy that came into the office, I did a small evaluation to see if there were resources that were needed. And for some people, they didn't need anything, and for some people, they needed quite a few things.
And how long did that position last?
So when I started there, it was a private practice. All Children's bought that private practice out, and I worked in the OBGYN for another 2 years, and then I went to work in the hospital in the pediatric intensive care unit 2 years later. So all together from OBGYN through when John Hopkins then bought out All Children's, I think it was almost 12 years.
Okay. So when did you start in the All Children's PICU?
That would have been
2009.
Yeah, something like that.
And can you? The jury's heard PICU, but just go ahead and remind them, what does PICU stand for?
Sure, it's the Pediatric Intensive Care Unit.
So, what was your role as a social worker in the PICU?
So, for every new child that was admitted, I did an evaluation to see how the family was doing, how the child was doing. What resources were needed. Many times our families came from far away, and they might need lodging, they might need food, they might need gas to get home. So I would provide those resources. I would also work with case management on discharge plans.
When you're the social worker at the PICU, were you involved with DCF cases?
Oh, yes. When I worked for Suncoast Center with Therapeutic Foster Care Program, all of our kids had to be in foster care to be there. So I worked extensively with DCF and with the court system during those 11 years.
And then when you're at All Children's with PICU, did you also have, were there patients there that were, in fact, DCF
Yes.
patients?
Yes.
If there's a shelter order in place with respect to a patient at All Children's, what's the protocol with respect to their name being included in the registry or on the door?
Sure.
39 and cultural legal conclusion.
So if we get a shelter order, the very first thing we do is put it into the medical chart. We call downstairs and take that person off of the registry so that nobody can just visit who isn't cleared to visit. We also take their name off of the door to their room.
Okay. Can I see exhibit 2278036, please? It's in evidence. Ms. Beatty, do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is dated November 18, 2016. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this was a write-up to you regarding corrective action notice?
Correct.
Do you recall the circumstances around this?
I do.
Can you go ahead and tell us about that?
I was covering the PICU and the cardiovascular unit, and there was a family that was discharging out of the CV, the cardiovascular unit, and the case manager at the time had offered them or said that I would provide for them a $50 gift card for gas. They lived 5 miles away from the hospital, and technically you can't give them that amount of money for gas. I found out that it was for food, and they really didn't need it for gas, and so I went to my supervisor and asked if we could provide something. I was told we couldn't, and I went back to talk to Pam, who is the case manager for the CV, and I lost my cool for a few minutes. And
well, why were you so upset?
Because I was going to have to go back to the family and tell them that we couldn't provide the help that had been given. You know, she said we would just give you this. And I felt bad that this family didn't have food. I was able to provide at least a list of resources of food banks, but it's very hard to go back to a family who you know is struggling.
Not your best moment?
Not my best moment.
Did you, in fact, apologize to the employee?
Immediately. I sent an email, and I went down and told my supervisor exactly what I had done.
Let's talk about, so you started there in 2009, and when did you leave All Children's?
I left All Children's, it was during COVID, so I think it was 2020.
When did you first get involved with Maya Kowalski?
So I believe that Maya came in on a Friday. I was not there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I would have on Monday.
Does October 10th, 2016 sound familiar?
It does.
Okay. Can we put up 1001-2026, please? We can make that larger. Okay. So, do you recognize this as part of the hospital chart regarding Maya Kowalski?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. And it says social work signature. That's you?
Yes.
Okay. And this is on October 11th, 2016, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to direct your attention to under actions taken or intervention completed. Is this a note that you would have put into the system?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, and there's it says social worker contacted by medical team, parents have agreed to stay, team's concerned mother will change her mind. I would like to address that for a minute.
Sure.
At some point, on October 13th, 2016, Maya became sheltered there by DCF, correct?
Correct.
All right, so this is before Maya is sheltered. This is October 11th.
Right.
Was your first interaction with the parents actually on October 10th?
Yes.
Okay. So between October 10th and October 13th, did the parents ever indicate to you that they wanted to leave and take Maya?
They didn't indicate that to me. They did to the medical team.
Did they ever tell you that they wanted to leave?
No.
At this point in time on October 11th, was it your understanding that the parents had agreed to stay?
Yes.
All right. There's also some discussion in this note about Nemours. Do you recall being involved in attempting to obtain a transfer to Nemours?
Yes.
And without going into all the details, do you recall ultimately what occurred with that attempt?
Yes. So we had a meeting. The attending for that week was Dr. Michelle Smith. We had a meeting with Mrs. Kowalski and Nemours, Dr. Santana through Nemours. And it looked like it was a go. I got all the case manager and I got all the paperwork together. And then when we actually were talking to her about the actual transfer, she said no, she wasn't going to go.
By she, you mean Mrs. Kowalski? Would not agree? Okay. All right, can I have 100?
I'm sorry, what was this exhibit number that's up right now?
Sure, it's Well, I have to look now. 2026.
Thank you.
Sure. Can we put up 1001-2024? Sure, I'm sorry. 1001-2024. Is this another note by you, Ms. Beattie?
It is.
If we can make the actions taken, well, order. Thank you. At this point in time, you had spoken to Mrs. Kowalski.
Yes.
The auditor, right? And she indicated she was unhappy with the CPI investigation.
Yes.
And I don't want to get into that, but did she also report to you that she was happy with the care being provided to Maya?
Yes, according to my note, yes.
Okay. We can go to the next, I'm guessing it would be 2023. Actually, I guess it'll be 2025, sorry. Is this the rest of your note? Yeah. And so there was also some conversation about educational services for the patient. Do you recall that?
I do.
Okay. And you received a call from an attorney for Mrs. Kowalski?
I did.
Okay. And what was the end result of that conversation about school services?
So Mom felt that Maya was too sick at this point, even though the attorney had called me. Mom felt that she was too sick to start school.
Okay, thank you. All right, so on October 13, 16, Maya is now sheltered. Can we have 1001-2023? Okay, is this your note?
Yes,
Speedy?
It is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
If we could have the actions taken or intervention completed. Thank you. So let me ask you this. With respect to your role when Maya was sheltered, who was tasked with having to tell Mr. Kowalski that he had to leave?
I was.
And who was had to go in and tell Maya that her father had to leave and her mother could not visit?
So Dad and I both went back into the room to explain to Maya that he had to leave and that Mom couldn't visit.
And what was Maya's reaction that you recall?
She was very angry. She was hurt. She was sad. She was crying. But she was also yelling and screaming.
And what do you recall her yelling?
She was calling the medical team and us effing assholes.
Did Mr. Kowalski comply with your with the information and the request that he had to leave?
He did.
Any issues at all with Mr. Kowalski?
None whatsoever.
Okay. Thank you, Clay. Were you, throughout the 3 months that Maya Kowalski was in the hospital, the one that had to tell Maya bad news?
Yes. Typically, CPI or the DCF people would call me and ask me to go in and let Maya know what was going on with certain parts of the court proceedings.
Do you recall an instance where you had to tell Maya that she wasn't going to be able to go home for Christmas?
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell us about that, please.
Maya was really excited about Christmas, and there are a lot of things that go on at the hospital during Christmas. So I got a call from, or an email from the CPI, I don't remember which, and the CPI asked me to go in and let Maya know that she wasn't going to be able to go home for Christmas. It was a really hard conversation. I went in and explained that to Maya. Maya was so upset. She was crying. She was just devastated. And she was just sobbing. She asked if she could sit in my lap, and I said, sure. I hugged her. She cried for a good 10 minutes or so. And she was mad, and she was saying all kinds of things about wanting to talk to the judge. And that was really it.
What was your intent in having Maya sit on your lap?
Just to provide comfort and support to her at that time.
Is that the only time that you had Maya sit on your lap?
Yes.
Did you ever take Maya down to the chapel by yourself?
No.
Did you ever put Maya on your lap down in the chapel?
No.
Let's talk about how it is that you stayed with Maya and was her social worker on the seventh floor. At that time, back in 2016, you were assigned to the PICU?
Correct.
And the cardiac?
In the cardiac ICU.
And the cardiac ICU. So how is it that you then followed Maya?
So the day that Maya was moving from the PICU to the seventh floor, my supervisor called me and asked me to stay on the case because I had good DCF experience with managing the shelter orders and things like that from my previous job, but also in the PICU.
Can we put up 2123010? So this is in evidence. You see the email from Nina. Who's Nina at the bottom?
Nina was the social worker for the seventh floor.
Okay. And she's asking whether or not you're going to continue to follow Maya?
Correct.
And your response was you'll continue to follow?
Correct.
Was there, with respect to Nina, was there a reason that was expressed to you as to why they wanted you to, why your boss wanted you to follow Maya?
I certainly wasn't going to explain to Nina why I was being asked to follow the case.
Oh, Nina, sorry.
It's okay.
And what was the reason that?
She didn't feel that Nina had the experience with DCF, and this was turning out to be a very intensive case.
All right, thank you. Throughout your, throughout the time that Maya was there on the seventh floor, did she have any religious articles in her room?
Yes.
Can you talk about that, please? Tell us what you observed.
Sure. So she had a lot of prayer cards, and she had her rosary. Maya prayed every morning. Some mornings, if I went by the room, she would be doing her prayer cards, and I would knock on the door, and she would say, either I could come in, or can I come back later?
What is your faith?
I'm Roman Catholic.
Are you practicing?
I am.
Would you at some times pray with Maya?
Yes, yes. Maya was doing a rosary one day, and she was doing a rosary. I can't remember who it was for, but we sat and prayed the rosary together.
Would you, as the social worker that was assigned to Maya, also get involved in making sure people got escorted to her room?
That was part of the policy and procedure, is that any child that was under state care had to be escorted. The visitors had to be escorted to the room and then escorted out of the room and back down to the first floor.
Okay. And was it DCF that would be determining who was approved to visit and who was not?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall in October 21st, first of all, would you sometimes get contacted when you weren't even working?
Yes.
For people to say, hey, somebody's here?
Yes.
To clear? Okay. Do you recall making arrangements for the teacher, Jackie Dieter, to get in on a Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. And how would you do that? Who would you then communicate with to make sure that they knew to make sure the teacher was escorted?
So either I would put it on my handoff report, which I would do at the end of each day. We did a handoff report. Or if the social worker in the hospital would call me at home and ask, is this person allowed to come? But I think I put it in a handoff report.
Would you sometimes send emails?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And they would be directed to the social worker that was
working? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, was it your understanding that at least in October until November 10th, I think it was November 10th, that Mrs. Kowalski was not allowed any contact with Maya,
yes,
pursuant to the court orders?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Did there come a time when, during that time frame, when Mrs. Kowalski wasn't allowed any contact, where the phone was removed from Maya's room?
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall receiving an email about that?
Yes, Nancy.
Were you the one that removed the phone?
No, Nancy Venn, the social worker that was there on the weekends, removed the phone.
And what was the reason that she removed the phone?
Mrs. Kowalski had made lots of phone calls to Maya on, I guess it was a Saturday, because that was the day Nancy worked. And there wasn't supposed to be any contact. So the phone was removed.
Now, during this time frame, October 13th to November 10th, which I have the date right, I'm pretty sure it's November 10th, was Jack Kowalski entitled to have supervised visits?
Yes.
And who would be supervising those visits?
DCF.
Okay. And during that time when these supervised visits, who was determining what Mr. Kowalski could and could not bring into the room?
DCF.
Do you recall an instance where Mr. Kowalski wanted to bring in communion and he was not allowed to do that by DCF?
Yes.
Do you recall that there was a time when a Dr. Duncan was coming to see Maya?
Yes.
Okay. And was that something that you made sure she, that you emailed and made sure people were aware that she was coming?
I did.
Okay. All right. Do you recall a time when Maya had written a letter that she wanted to send to the judge?
Yes.
And what did you do with that letter?
So any communications that Maya wanted to send to the judge, I would take it, scan it in, and email it to the case manager, the DCF case manager.
Okay. Now, once Mr. Kowalski was allowed unsupervised visit, were you involved at all in arranging for that?
So all I did for that is the court had asked Mr. Kowalski to notify us of when he wanted to come and visit and what times. So he would send me an email or I think an email, and then I would send the email along with those dates and times to whoever was working on the seventh floor.
It would be the bedside nurse that you would...
It could be the bedside nurse or the charge nurse.
All right, can we show, can we bring up 3217534? So, can you make it a little larger, please? For my eyes, if nobody else. And so, is this what you were referring to, that you would get an email from Mr. Kowalski telling you the dates and times that he wanted to visit?
Correct.
Okay. And then your response was that you're not in, but you'll make sure the seventh floor knows you're coming?
Right.
Okay. Can we bring up 3217568? Similar, is this an email that you would get? And below there are all the dates in November that Mr. Kowalski was going to come visit?
Correct.
And your response was to do what?
Objection leading to
sustain.
What would be your response to this email? Or what was your response?
So I simply said, hi, Jack, all is well. Thanks for keeping me in the loop on the dates and that I would forward those on.
Okay. Can we see 3217598? Is this another request by Mr. Kowalski?
Yes.
And did you understand December 1-14 mean 1 through 14th?
I'm not sure what I thought. I think it, I thought 1 and 14.
Okay. All right. But anyway, these are the dates that Mr. Kowalski chose that he wanted to come in and visit.
Sure.
And you were not dictating what dates he could come in?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
3217716, please. Now, this is a request for a visit after 6 and then on Saturday. Would those be arranged?
Objection, meeting. That one a little.
So he's requesting a 1-hour supervised visit, and he's letting me know that his sister-in-law is available for those visits. So, yes, I would have still let the seventh floor know that.
Okay. And 3217803. Again, additional dates that Mr. Kowalski was telling you that he was going to come visit, correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you, Clint. Are you aware that, let me just ask you this way. Are you aware that at one point, a Detective Graham came and met with Mr. Kowalski?
Yes.
Did you have anything to do with arranging that visit?
No.
Did you become aware, can we bring up 1001-2017, please? And under plan near the bottom. Okay. So this is not your note. This is Poala. Say her name, please.
Poala.
Poala. Thank you. Poala Padron's note, correct?
Yes.
So were you involved at all with the incident where two women came in that were not previously approved?
No.
Okay. From the church? All right. Let me ask you a question. What is medical foster care?
So medical foster care is any child that might have medical needs. And that can be from medication to a vent or to having to administer medications for diabetes. So they have significant medical needs. And instead of going to a regular foster care home where there might be 4 other children, they would go to a medical foster care home. And that medical foster care parent would take them to doctor's appointments, coordinate with the parents all of the medical kinds of things that were going on for the child.
So was Maya Kowalski a situation where if she was in an outpatient program that she would need to be, while she's being sheltered, that she would need to be in a medical foster home?
Yeah. Yes.
Objection leading.
Okay. What would be, with respect to Maya Kowalski and her situation, what would be her requirements if she was in an outpatient program while still being sheltered by DCF?
Sure. Maya would have had to have gone to a medical foster care home because she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't have gone to a regular foster care home because she would have needed more help.
This is Chapter 39, way beyond scope.
Okay. That question is allowable.
Yeah, I'll move on, Chuck. At some point, can we bring up 1001-2007, please? Were you familiar who Mike Kelly was with respect to Maya Kowalski?
Yes.
And what's your understanding of who Mike Kelly was?
He was the children's attorney in the beginning.
Is this your note? Let me find you. Yes, this is your note, correct?
Yes.
So, looking at the bottom of that, did Maya tell you something with respect to what her attorney advised her?
Yes, she said that.
Objection in Chapter 39.
Sure. Can you go ahead and put that down?
More full live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.